This is Fresh Air. The comic Guardians of the Galaxy is part of a vast and interlocking Marvel universe of superheroes. But few expected its 2014 film adaptation would be such a big hit. Now there's a sequel called Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, featuring the same cast, including Chris Pratt as Peter Quill. It also adds some new players, including Kurt Russell as a god who identifies himself as Peter's father. Film critic David Edelstein has this review.
By the bloated standards of Marvel Comics movies, the 2014 Guardians of the Galaxy was a modest affair, a goofy break from the Dark Knights of the Soul of Captain America and company, and way less grim than DC Comics movies, which are Wagnerian. There were five superheroes of mixed sizes, powers, and temperaments. Chris Pratt's Peter Quill, a.k.a. Star-Lord, was a likable screw-up who carried a mixtape of 70s AM radio hits made by the mom he still mourned. Rocket was a raccoon with a longshoreman's potty mouth. There was a neurotic muscleman, a sentient tree, and a warrior woman who alone had sense. The B-movie vibe was an agreeable reminder of the first Star Wars and Joss Whedon's TV series Firefly. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 is back to the old Marvel bloat. It's overlong, it's repetitious, and for every good joke, there are two that don't land. Kids, fans, and the Dread fanboys will still love it, because the studio knows how to push its audience's buttons. But everyone else should steer clear of multiplexes this weekend. After a prologue I'll tell you about later, we see the Guardians in action. Pratt's Peter, Rocket voiced by Bradley Cooper, Zoe Saldana's Gamora, Dave Bautista's Drax, and a cute little twig that's the reincarnation of the tree Groot. They're fighting a kind of giant space squid while making wisecracks, and director James Gunn and his designers have done a good job recreating a typical Guardians comic book panel. But it's still a big mess with dumb jokes. That squid stole powerful batteries belonging to a high-strung but rather attractive gold-hued race. Its sovereign, played by Elizabeth Debicki, rubs Rocket the wrong way, so he steals some batteries too, which puts a massive armada on the Guardian's tail.
This is weird. We've got a sovereign fleet approaching from the rear.
Why would they do that?
Probably because Rocket stole some of their batteries.
Dude!
Right. He didn't steal some of those. I don't know why they're after us. What a mystery this is.
What were you thinking?
Dude, they were really easy to steal.
That's your defense?
Come on. You saw how that high priestess talked down to us. Now I'm teaching her a lesson.
Oh, I didn't realize your motivation was altruism. It's really a shame the Sovereign have mistaken your intentions and are trying to kill us.
Exactly.
I was being sarcastic.
Oh, no, you're supposed to use a sarcastic voice. Now I look foolish.
Can we put the bickering on hold until after we survive this massive space battle?
More incoming.
Good. I'm going to kill some guys.
If you found that dialogue labored, what's on screen is its visual equivalent. Stuff swirls around, things get zapped and explode, and it's all just fodder. There's zero suspense. Coming to the Guardians' aid is the guest star of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Kurt Russell, as Ego, a god, or demigod. Marvel has so many gods. In the prologue, we meet a computer-generated version of Russell's younger self, an image that haunted me over the next 2 hours. That computer recreation is far more disturbing in its real-world implications than any threat to a fictional galaxy. Ego claims to be the father of Pratt's Peter Quill, and to possess vast powers he wants to pass on. That gives the movie its storyline and emotional hook. Will Peter abandon his surrogate family for his supposed real father? What if his volatile adopted father, corrupt space ranger Yondu, played by Michael Rooker? Reinforcing the idea that bad fatherhood is the galaxy's greatest destabilizer is the B-plot, in which Gamora and Karen Gillan, as her artificially enhanced sister, Nebula, prepare for a face-off. Nebula has never forgiven Gamora for allowing their cruel father to pit them against each other as girls. So much adolescent angst up there in space. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 has some witty flourishes, among them a ship like a white melon with an eyeball, and a shot of little Groot pressed against a spaceship window, staring with childlike wonder at a receding planet. Actually, little Groot steals the picture, though Rooker is moving as a man swamped by melancholy over a misspent life, and Gillen makes a scary Nebula, seething but still watchful. The vibe, though, is all about marketing. It's not enough you paid for this product. You have to sit through commercials for other ones. There are 4, count 'em, teasers during the credits. One with Sylvester Stallone as a space ranger surrounded by actors palpably salivating for a Marvel paycheck. Watching Marvel and DC spread their tentacles through the movie galaxy is far more terrifying than any space squid.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine. On the next Fresh Air, Gaboray Sidibe. She made her acting debut in the Lee Daniels film Precious in 2009. She played the main character, a role that got her an Oscar nomination for Best Actress. Sidibe has a new memoir. Hope you can join us. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer today is Roberta Sherrock. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering support from Joyce Lieberman and Julian Hertzfeld. Our associate producer for online media is Molly C.B. Nesper. Teresa Madden directed today's show. For Terry Gross, I'm David B. Cooley.